and myself, a very Protestant college student from outside of Chicago. We spent the day together visiting Mount Nebo, the historical location given for Moses' final days at Bethany beyond the Jordan, the historical location given for the place where Jesus himself was baptized by John. So at Bethany, it was a sunny and relatively mild day for a Jordanian August. The landscape was full of shorter, thick, dark green brush with that dry, beige soil you might expect. There was a clear, marked path that you walked with fellow pilgrims that took you deeper into the wilderness towards this holy site. Moving with anticipation, preparing myself to see the place where Jesus himself would have walked, to see the place where Jesus would have seen with his own eyes. And it was nothing like I expected. It was quite plain, actually. It was quite, dare I say, rather unextraordinary. The place that Jesus was baptized looked and appeared rather unextraordinary. This is the place? I mean, I don't know exactly what I was expecting, but it felt like it should have looked like something different than what it did. And if you want to get a sense of what I'm talking about, there's actually some pictures going in the multi-purpose room following worship. But you'll see, there was this outcropping in the trees that seemingly popped up out of nowhere. And what lays the remains of a 5th and 6th century church and a set of stairs that leads down to where the River Jordan must have flowed at some point. And instead, the place where Jesus was baptized was not much more than a basin or a small pool of shallow standing water. Alas, there we stood, still amazed, caught in a pause, and caught by the sight of looking down at the place where Jesus would have met John the Baptist and stepped into the waters, where the heavens would have opened up to him and a vision of the Holy Spirit as a dove would have descended. There, in that rather unextraordinary place, Jesus was called beloved by God and would begin his ministry there in the wilderness. And for a moment, we rested among the trees and the brush until we continued walking, arriving at where the Jordan River flows now. The water actually quite low and brackish in color, and the other side at the boundaries of Jordan and Palestine was separated by maybe 10 feet at that point in the river. I try and imagine, given how much further we had to walk from the place of Jesus' baptism to the current flow of the river, how much wider the Jordan River must have been at some point, what the landscape would have looked like in Jesus' day. Obviously, the path wouldn't have been neat and well kept, well maintained. Would the brush and trees have been more overgrown? Would the banks of the river be teeming with the lives of those trying to make one, or perhaps those at the in-between places of their lives? So there are a couple of questions that come to mind. What does it mean that this place was the place? What is it about those waters and that moment that was so crucial to Jesus' ministry and his identity? What about the wilderness? Why was the wilderness so important for his baptism? What happens then? Well, let's take a look, shall we? Adam and Eve were sent out of the Garden of Eden into the wilderness. Moses encounters God in a burning bush in the wilderness. The Israelites wander there for 40 years before entering the land that was promised after leaving slavery. The wilderness is a place where Hagar and Ishmael are exiled, where John the Baptist ate honey and locusts with cloves of camel hair and preached of a Messiah and baptized not only Jesus, but others. The wilderness is a place where the social and religious exiles and outcasts, the marginalized and the forgotten, live. The wilderness is the place that where Jesus was tempted by Satan, where Jesus was baptized, as you may have heard, before he began his ministry. The wilderness is the place the desert mothers and fathers of the early church experienced God. The wilderness is the place for the dark nights of the soul, as St. John of the Cross would name it. The place where we encounter the depths of who God is by facing the depths of who we are. In Hebrew, the word for wilderness is midbar, and it shares a root for the word word as it relates to speech. In the Hebrew scriptures, the wilderness is a place of encounter where God speaks. It is a liminal space, one of our favorite words these days. It is the space in between the end of one chapter and the beginning of another. The wilderness becomes this necessary unknown. It is this place of uncertainty, anxiety, and isolation, of feeling lost and alone. It is a place of fear and misunderstanding. The wilderness is a place where the marginalized and the outcast, the forgotten and the suffering live. The wilderness is the place where the suffering travel through in order to seek out a better life. It is the place endured for the sake and for the hope of the journey's end. The wilderness is the place where God shows us her presence. It is the place where God shows us his promises and accompanies us on the journey toward them. It is the place where we and all those who have experienced wilderness are most vulnerable, most tired, where we are most raw, where the layers of our spirits have been peeled back and we are nothing but our truest selves. If you haven't experienced that kind of wilderness in your life, God bless you, because I know I have. Wandering the wildernesses of life is hard. It's tough. It's trying. It's aggravating. It's frustrating. And it is exhausting. The wilderness is the place where we not only feel our weakest, but where we are at our weakest. It is the place where we need someone else to carry our burdens when we don't feel like we can take another step or endure another day alone. And this is the place that's fit for Jesus to be baptized? This place of isolation, of separation, of vulnerability, this is the place where the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus? Yes. And this is the place where we see what really matters to God, to Christ, and to the Holy Spirit. Because not only was this the place where Jesus was baptized, rather, unextraordinarily in his early life, with the exception of his birth, granted we'll give that Jesus' birth was rather extraordinary, right? Or the gifts that he received, as Stephanie Buchanan points out. But Jesus was rather unextraordinary. Jesus wasn't born in a palace, though he would be a king. Nor did he live his life as one. His baptism comes some 30 years after spending his life the son born of a young mom, the child of a surrogate father who was a carpenter, a day laborer, who immediately after Jesus' birth fled with his family to Egypt at the threat of violence from a tyrant. Though Jesus was presented in the temple as a child, as was custom, accompanying his family on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, as was custom, Jesus is not baptized in Jerusalem. He's not baptized in the holy courts. He's not baptized in the temple. Jesus is ultimately baptized in a way that continues to speak to his rather unextraordinary life. It's this connection with the unextraordinary, with the wilderness that seems to play to the tune of our faith, teaching us just how significant this whole ordeal is. Jesus reaches down into the depths of his own humanity, calling forth that desire to be loved and known by God in a way that we are called to be known and loved by God. Jesus, in essence, is then bringing forth all humankind and all of humanity and saying that even in the wilderness, even in isolation, even alongside the downtrodden, the socially outcast, the expelled, the vulnerable, the cut off, the hurt and the suffering at the hands of the world, that he, and more importantly, God is among us. By John's act of baptizing Jesus, Jesus shares walked into the waters that others would walk into on a daily basis. Jesus shares in our common humanity as he would eat the same bread, sharing the common loaf as others would share. Jesus shares in our humanity by speaking the language that those around him would speak. In this rather unextraordinary baptism, Jesus declares something extraordinary, that the Holy Spirit, descending upon him in the form of a dove in the wilderness, is the very dove that descends upon us as we approach the waters that wash over us in the wildernesses of our lives that we aren't spared from. But we are accompanied through. By this act of baptism, Jesus brings our humanity into relationship with the divine, with the Holy Spirit. As Jesus comes out of the waters, he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, hearing the voice of God saying, "This is my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So when we are claimed as beloved, when we are named as God's children, know that God is well pleased. But you notice in the scriptures, it doesn't say that God is dancing for joy, or jumping for joy, or dancing ecstatically. And the Greek word translated as well pleased expresses more of a calm contentment. Because there's much more joy to be had. But that's because Jesus' baptism is just the beginning. Jesus' time